Hello and welcome to the 48th episode of Woman, Conversations with the Curious, a podcast I created for women looking to squeeze more juice out of life. I'm Amy Crawford, founder of The Holistic Ingredient. I'm a mindset therapist, whole food lover, and more than a little bit passionate about helping you feel comfortable around what it is to be a woman. Today's episode is brought to you by my best-selling blend, Marine Collagen with Kakadu and Davidson Plum. Sustainable, bioavailable marine collagen peptides with 8 carefully chosen ingredients and flavoured with raspberries. This delicious fine powder is a powerful blend consciously created to promote skin hydration and firmness, strengthen nails and support healthy hair. Enjoy a daily dose in water, stirred through muesli in a hot choc or your favourite smoothie. Available now via theholisticingredient.com. Now, in today's episode, I interview accidental social media sensation Jane McCann from The Middle-Aged Goddess. Jane is passionate about sharing the beauty and gift of aging and partners with brands who embrace her ethos around growing older. Through her infectious personality and joy of life, Jane inspires her community to celebrate what it really means to be yourself, from life to love, fashion to beauty, and everything in between. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. Now, Jane, you are amassing a lot of very engaged and appreciative community members on your Instagram account, Middle Aged Goddess. And I'd love to start by asking, what inspired you to set up this account?
Do you know, I set it up, I used to teach yoga. I'm a lapsed yogi. I'm a lapsed Catholic and a lapsed yogi. So I used to teach yoga. So it was very much my business page. And then it sort of morphed into my menopause page. And then it morphed into my divorce page. And now it's morphing into something completely different. But that's sort of why I started it. And the whole name thing, honestly, it's a bit of a joke. I was, you know, you delve into Instagram, there's yogi goddess, bikini goddess. I'm like, where are the old goddesses? Like, come on. So that's sort of where the name evolved from. And I have dabbled occasionally in changing it. But there's been always been a bit of outrage about that. So I've gone back to the Middle Aged Goddess. I don't know, Amy, what I'm going to do when I'm like 70.
Aged goddess.
Oh, I often call myself ye olde goddess. So I might just be that, I think.
I don't know why you need to change Middle Aged Goddess.
Well, you know, there's going to be a time where I'm past middle age and I'm in the golden years. Maybe I'll be golden goddess. That's a good idea. Yes.
So how long have you had your account for?
God, I don't know. I think probably 7 years, maybe.
Okay, right. Yeah. So, and over that time, it sounds like it's morphed, as it does with many Instagram accounts, from one thing into the next. So having stumbled across your account a couple of months ago, I was struck. It's just a joy. Like, you are a ray of sunshine in a newsfeed. There's no question. And so it seems from an outsider looking in that you are very pro-age. What I'd love to hear is what made you decide to start moving into that kind of middle-aged goddess, you know, pro-aging messaging?
I think I've been wondering about that myself recently, and I think it's because I'll be 57 this year and I'm coming up to being the same age as my sister was when she passed away. She died from breast cancer, as did my mum, and my dad died from bowel cancer. So, and I've been speaking to other people in my orbit who have lost parents or someone significant in their life. And as they get to that same age, there's a real sort of connection and a sense of, you know, time's not infinite. And I've really realized that in the last few months. And I've been talking to my fella about that too. And we're both really feeling that at the moment, that time's not infinite. And I look, you know, I'm turning 57 and I'm realizing, well, how young that actually is, but also that it's really important that I make the most of whatever time I have here. Because, you know, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping I grow old into my 90s, and but maybe I won't. So I need to absolutely honor my sister's journey. There's that word, journey. Honor my sister's journey and really embrace the age I'm entering into.
And so, Jane, with the loss of your sister, do you feel, are you aware of your own attitude to aging shifting around that time? So sorry, you said that was about 7 years ago now? And so at that time, or before you lost your dear sister, can you recall what your attitude to aging was then? Or something, or maybe it was something you didn't really think about.
It wasn't something that I thought about too much, but there was one pivotal moment. It was probably about a year before she passed away, and it was my birthday again, and I was whining about getting old, and she just looked at me, and she was always very direct, my sister, and she just looked at me and she said, "Every birthday is a blessing." And I just went, "Shut the fuck up, Jane." Like, and looked at her and I'm like, yeah, every birthday is a blessing. And so I have lived with that motto ever since. I was never one that really celebrated my birthdays too much. Now I do. I make sure on the day of my birthday that I do something significant for myself. But that was definitely the shift.
Yeah, such an important one too.
Yeah,
because, you know, just certainly from having lots of conversations with women around the aging process and receiving lots of feedback from community members around some of these discussions, there are a lot of women who are really fearful about it, aren't there? And I imagine through some of the content you share that you might be aware of that as well, that some, you know, there is a lot of age-related rhetoric that we hear, you know, that, for instance, you become invisible when you age.
Yeah.
Can you talk to that? Like, being someone who shows up and puts herself online and shares a lot, what would you say to that comment of feeling invisible as you age?
Yeah, I did something about that a while ago and talked to that, and I actually don't agree. I don't think that women become invisible. I think it's honestly that we just care a bit less about what people think about us. So, you know, like if I walk into a shop or a cafe or whatever and no one looks at me, or men don't look at me anymore, I just don't really care. I don't need that affirmation from other people anymore. And that has come with age and being much more confident in myself now as a postmenopausal woman than I ever was before. And I think that comes from life experience and, you know, living a life and raising a family and working and all that kind of thing. I don't need constant affirmation from anybody anymore. And, you know, some of my closest friends don't follow me on Instagram, never look at what I do. Like, you know, hasn't changed the way they feel about me or our relationship. Sorry, my computer's going off. I definitely don't feel invisible.
No.
And the online stuff, I think that's what I'm trying to say, the online stuff doesn't have anything to do with that.
No. But it does take courage, doesn't it, for some women to put their face online and share some of the messages and to keep on showing up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy to do that. And it's not for everybody, that's for sure. But yeah, I think now, well, since I started my Instagram, now there are more and more women showing up online, growing out the hair color or happily coloring it, and being more visible and more present. And for those that aren't online, maybe that makes them feel a bit more seen.
Okay, sure. So can I ask why do you feel your account's been so beautifully received by women? What is it about it, do you think?
I think, I'm happy to talk about things that are sort of hidden away. And especially during my menopause adventure, I was quite honest and open about what was going on there and all the changes in my body and how I was feeling in the emotional roller coaster. And I guess, other women can relate to that. And I think too, I'm not mega famous. I'm not a supermodel. I'm not, anyone super important out there in the world. I'm just doing my thing, hanging out with my man and my kids and my dogs. I'm still working. I've got a business that I'm running. I think women can just relate to me being every woman.
Not trying to be somebody you're not. And also, what I've found really delightful is that you do just talk to the everyday stuff. And it's really interesting because the more I found, even in my own account, I've come to understand how practical my audience is. Because, for instance, I had a chat about stainless steel pegs recently and it went absolutely nuts.
I saw
People just
that.
love, I think it's wonderful being able to share content that's just everyday, just this is the reality of life.
Absolutely. And I've talked about my mental health stuff. I have struggled with some massive bouts of depression, and I've been quite open about that and the things that I do that keep me steady in that space. And I think a lot of women can relate to that as well. And even now, mental health, it's still a touchy topic, and a lot of people don't feel comfortable talking about themselves and what they've gone through. But I've been happy to share that, and I think that a lot of women can relate to that and connect to that as well.
So Jane, whilst thank you for mentioning that, and I wondered, with respect to the way in which you've dealt with your own mental health, what might be a couple of practices or a couple of tools you would lean on to help support your mental health that, might inspire another woman having a difficult time?
Look, I always say to people, it's all the boring stuff that none of us want to do, and we all know we should be. And, that's why it's called a meditation practice. That's why it's called a yoga practice. Like, you have to practice it, you have to show up and do it. I gave up alcohol a very long time ago. I do dabble occasionally still, but I realized that that wasn't helping me. I'm a Vedic meditation practitioner. Having said that, when I'm feeling really good, I stop doing it. It's ridiculous, isn't
You're
it?
not alone.
I'm
You're not
like, I'm
alone.
healed, I'm okay. But that is really important. And I've been doing the cold water swimming thing for about 4 or 5 years now. That really helps. It's all that kind of stuff. But
Practices,
it's,
different practices
yeah.
that need
And
to be practiced.
none of it you have to pay for. You just need to show up and do it and be consistent.
It's interesting what you say about meditation. I too have do Vedic meditation, and it's interesting over the years. I came to it about a decade ago, and And it has fallen by the wayside when I've either just been feeling great and,
I know, it's ridiculous,
really
isn't it?
great, or feeling, or just really, really busy, and which is when you really should be taking the time to meditate. But it's so interesting how we can let go of really beautiful, really healthy, really worthwhile habits when things are going well. And one of the reasons things are going very well for us is because of that very practice. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and I interviewed my own meditation teacher recently, Natasha Mason, and we were talking about meditation and its impact on menopausal symptoms. And she was saying that this, you know, this twice a day, 20-minute meditation practice can be so impactful in helping eliminate, as you would know, the stress, tension, fatigue, and in turn help really soften the rage that many of us feel, as I do when my dog cocks his leg 20 times on one walk. Christ, it gives me the shits. Although I've been right back into my practice for about, I don't know, about a month now, and can very happily say that that instant reaction of has really softened.
Yeah, beautiful. There's
a lot to be said for meditating. There really is.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I must admit, I'm probably a once a day person, not twice a day.
Today's great.
But it has absolutely changed my life. And the other thing I want to say too is whenever I say to people meditation, they go, oh, I tried it, I can't do it, I can't stop the thoughts. And it's like, that's okay. Like my teacher, Leanne Richards, she was amazing. She's like, it's okay. Like if it comes up, it's all right. But you've got the mantra there to help refocus you. And sometimes I want to fall asleep. And she's like, the body knows what it needs. Like if that happens, but honestly, you know, the 20 minutes, the timer goes off or I come out of it and it's like, wow, it's like an instant, it's like an espresso hit, you know? I'm just like, yeah, great. Thank you. I'm ready to go.
It's such fundamental deep rest.
It is.
Really is, isn't it? I think Tash was saying she couldn't remember where the stat came from, but it's a 20-minute meditation is comparable to 4 hours deep sleep in the rest.
Absolutely, which is why I never do it at nighttime, because it just reignites me. So sort of 5 o'clock would be my latest. And yeah, anything after that, it's like party time.
Good on you. Well, thank you for sharing. So, Jane, what would you, in your journey through, you know, you mentioned you're 57 this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've been through menopause?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All righty. So what would you say are some of the gifts of aging, of the aging process in your own experience?
What are you
really grateful for?
I'm really grateful that post-menopause, and I remember my sister saying this, so she went through early menopause because of chemo, and I remember her saying, you know, there's just this evenness to my life now. And I used to get really horrendous PMT. And bless my ex-husband, I had an ablation in my 40s because I also would bleed like a river of blood every month. And I remember after the surgery, he said to me, so great, like no more periods, no more PMT. And I went, oh, no, like that's still going to be there. It doesn't affect my hormones. And the look on his face, he was like, oh, poor fella. So not having to deal with that every month, that complete and utter craziness for 2 weeks I would experience it, has just given me such a sense of ease in my life. So not having to deal with that anymore. I think now I just find I'm much happier. I'm a much happier person in my 50s. I'm much more confident. I'm much more settled in myself. I'm, you know, I said to my fella the other day, How do you feel about aging? Like, what makes you feel good about growing older? And he said, I just have realized that I think my purpose is just to love more. And I was like, oh
Oh,
my God, you're so beautiful.
what a wonderful find in him.
Yeah. He's like, I just want to love you more. He goes, he's got two daughters. I just want to love them as much as I can. We've got grandchildren. He's like, I'm just looking forward to having more space and more time to love more. And I was like, what an amazing gift.
Isn't it?
And that's, I think, what happens as you get older. As you know, my boys, I've got two boys, they've just moved to Japan for 3 months. You know, I've got sort of space in my life now where I can actually reflect more and think about what do I want for myself? What do I really want to do? What do I really want to create? You know, I can work a little less as well, which is really lovely. I think there's a lot ahead of me yet to look forward to. I'm certainly not denying that some of the physical stuff is interesting, and to get my head around that.
Can you provide a bit more information there?
Yeah, so I was laughing with a girlfriend the other day. The fella and I, a few years ago, our New Year's resolution was not to groan when we got out of a chair. And I think we lasted 3 days before we were like, yeah, this isn't going to work, is it?
Hilarious.
So, yeah, some of the physical stuff, you know, I need a knee replacement, which I'm desperately trying to avoid. You know, my body has changed dramatically. Everything's a lot softer than it used to be. But then again, I always say, you know, I'm a lot softer inside as well. I'm not as hard on myself as I am or as I used to be about my appearance and my body shape. I'm just like, yeah, we're meant to change. That's what happens, you know? So there is that I do struggle with a little, but also it's like, well, yeah, where I'm aging. From the moment I was born, I was aging. And what a gift to be able to grow old.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important that we certainly don't dismiss those feelings that we experience around, like just the observations of, sagging skin. Like just on the not long ago, I was looking at the skin on my arm, and I've been blessed with pretty good skin, but I noticed the sagging when I held my arm up, the sagging of my, I really noticed it. I was like, wow. And we don't want to dismiss what comes up for us, but there's a couple of things that you've mentioned that I sort of wanted to come back to actually before I forget. One of them was your mention that you're just feeling happier. And that took me back to another podcast episode recently that I shared. And we know you might have seen that there's some research that has proven that we are on a happiness upswing. So the good news for you, Jane, is you're just going to get happier and happier. By the
Yay!
time I'm not with us all, you'll be bursting with so much joy.
Do you
Midlife.
know, last night I thought, what? Why do I feel like this? Like, is it an actual thing? And so I got on Google, and you're right, there's a study that the University of Melbourne did, and women from sort of 50 to 70 generally feel happier than they have ever felt in their whole life. I'm like, great.
And the beautiful thing about it is there's nothing you need to do to find that happiness. We start, they're just, it's a growing sense of appreciation for the really little things, the little things that cumulatively become more meaningful. It's a letting go of things that don't serve us. It's being more mindful of where we spend our time and our energy. And apparently, we are at our least happiest in midlife, but then we start on that upswing,
Yeah,
which is
absolutely.
worth getting excited about. But the other thing was sort of around that what you mentioned earlier around this lack of need for validation in the way that you look, like walking into a room or walking down the street and perhaps not getting as many wolf whistles, or maybe you do, but maybe you don't get as many wolf whistles as you used to get. There are some women that would really notice that, but I think what's beautiful is your comment that it isn't something that you need, because unfortunately, there is, as Nicole Matheson on my last podcast episode has written a book about, the beauty load. All of us go through life with this load on our shoulders, this expectation you need to look a certain way, and we get accustomed to this constant validation, comments on our weight, comments about how we look, wolf whistles from men. And when that stops, there can be a noticeable absence, can't there, I think, for some women. But how wonderful if you get to the point where you realize, I am enough. I don't need to be validated. Like I don't need to walk down the street and have a bloke whistle at me.
And
it really comes back to that, you know, really that self-compassion and self-love, and really working on that sense of just being enough at any age, really.
I think too, my definition of beauty has really shifted. Like, if someone said to you, what does beauty mean to you? Like, it would have been, you know, definitely based on how someone looks, their physical appearance. But now I don't feel that at all. I feel, you know, beauty is our little granddaughter calling me Nanny J. You know, beauty is a beautiful sunrise. Beauty is a new jar of peanut butter.
It better be crunchy, Jane.
Yeah, it's always crunchy. it's so not related to anyone's appearance anymore. And I wish I had known that when I was younger. Yeah, because I was so insecure about how I looked. I actually didn't like getting attention from men because it made me feel unsafe in a way. And I'm so glad now that I don't equate beauty with how anybody looks at all.
I was just having this conversation actually with someone on the weekend. It's this is a really interesting one for women our age, because lots of us grew up perceiving beauty and a certain equating thinness, certainly thinness, to being beautiful, and it was very acceptable to comment on people's size. So you'd see somebody, when I grew up, someone would go, oh gosh, James, you've lost weight, you look wonderful. And gosh, you know, always commenting. And then if I'd put on weight, I'd often just get, gosh, you look so healthy, you're looking healthy. And there's always a bit of a fluctuation going on. And what I've been thinking a lot about now is, I don't believe we're all on the same page about this. There will be lots of women, I'm sure now, who've gone through the process of losing weight that would appreciate being validated for that journey, because they've, for all the years of their life, been told that being thin is beautiful. And the one thing, I'm just sharing this out of interest, really, that concerns me is, you know, if I see a woman who I haven't seen in a while and she's about the same age, and let's say she's lost a considerable amount of weight, and I don't say anything, and I don't say anything, right? And this happened to me last year, and I didn't say anything, and we just chatted about life. And as I walked away, I thought to myself, I wonder if she's noticing the absence of me acknowledging how much weight she's lost. It's just an interesting thing that I think about. I wonder if that would be insulting to some women our age, because that's what we've grown up being used to. Congratulating you on a massive achievement.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, maybe she would have volunteered, you know, oh, hey, I've been on this weight loss journey, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. It is a really tricky space. I shared a post a couple of months ago on my Instagram about a time in my 40s where I was very sick. I was so sick and mentally not well, and lost, I think I lost around 12, 13 kilos. And I was working at a gym at the time, and the comments were, oh my God, you look amazing. And what's your secret? What have you done? And one of the trainers even said to me, did my BMI, and I was in the, you know, emaciated range. And she was like, oh my God, you must be so happy. Like,
oh,
yeah, stuff like that. And I actually just wanted to die.
And the problem with that, Jane, the insinuation when they say, oh, you look so great, is you weren't looking that great before.
Yeah.
Like that's not necessarily what they were thinking, but that's how it sounds.
Yeah.
Gosh, you look great.
Well, and I remember saying to my husband, so it sounds ridiculous now, saying, this is the thinnest I've ever been in my life and I can't even enjoy it. And him just looking at me like, oh my God, shut up. You know, just, yeah.
Gosh, I'm really resonating with you, you know, what you've mentioned around, you know, how much kinder and softer you've become in yourself and you know, worrying less about how we look. And I've even noticed that in myself. I've been working with a wonderful Ayurvedic practitioner, and she's shared some really positive sort of body positive messaging with me, and the need in your 50s for us just to let go of you know, the discipline and the need to push and the drive and just to soften into ourselves and wear more comfortable clothes and wear clothes with elastic waists and wear beautiful fabrics that feel lovely on our skin. And something about her messaging to me is just giving me this lovely permission to stop caring so much about the chocolate that I eat every night. And just, you know, Andrew, as much as I love him, has brought bloody crisps into my life.
Oh God, potato chips are like crack.
Right? I was never a crisp eater. And particularly since recovering from illness over the last 10 years and becoming so passionate about whole foods, no, there will be no crisps in my household. Well, Friday night, crisp night. Gosh, I've been noticing within myself how lovely. I'm noticing how much nicer I'm being to myself, and the
you're giving yourself permission.
It's like, who cares? Like, just enjoy the crisp, and you know. And I have a bit of dark chocolate every single night. And admittedly, I feel a bit like it's got some control over me sometimes. That's why I need to work on that. But it's just the letting go, the freedom that comes with letting go about of, you know, the weight on the scales and the size that you're wearing and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Lovely. I think that came naturally to me through menopause. Like, I've always been, I always worked at gyms. I always worked out. I was always really careful about what I ate. I think it must be an estrogen thing because I'm so much more relaxed about it now. I still, you know, I still work out and keep fit and everything, but I'm not, oh my God, I have to go to the gym every day. And I'm not, oh my God, I can't eat a bowl of fries with my girlfriends. Like, I'm much more at ease with my relationship to food and how I look, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels so good.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
And I'm still being proactive about my health as well, but I'm just not giving myself a hard time.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And so, Jane, in conclusion, I'd love to simply ask you, to a woman who is feeling currently fearful of the aging process, what would you say to her?
I would say that growing old is the greatest gift that you could ever receive. And, you know, just enjoy the softening, enjoy the changes, like embrace it. We're meant to change. We're meant to grow. We're meant to keep learning forever. It's such a beautiful thing. And just love more, love yourself more, love everyone around you more. Take some time, enjoy the space that's coming into your life. You know, just I feel like coming into this time of life is really for me, it's really becoming who I am, and I'm so much more happy and confident in that. And aging gives you that gift and that time and that space to really embrace that. I mean, aging's amazing. We need to change the narrative around it. Other cultures have. In our culture, it's like, yeah, let's just put you in an old people's home and off you go. Let's really change that and enjoy the shift, the next stage.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jane.
So good. Thanks, Amy. Before we go, what are you enjoying about aging?
Oh, so many. Thank you for asking. Very similar things to what you've mentioned. I think the softening, I have probably one of my biggest challenges is over the last, I don't know, 20 plus years, actually, let's say more like 30 years of my career, is this overarching kind of masculine energy in what I've done. So, I guess grateful that I am naturally very motivated. And I don't know if I'm grateful for this, but driven, but also sometimes for perhaps the wrong reasons, you know, that for many years it came with this need for validation and approval, which now I've let go of. And what I'm really enjoying is the softening that's come, I'm becoming so much clearer on where I want to put my energy, and I'm really learning to listen to myself and to my body and know what is good for me and what isn't good for me. When I need to rest, I'm getting much better at that. That's always been a challenge. Really knowing my own limits. And I think I'm just sitting in far more gratitude, as you said, about being so fortunate to get up every day. And the more gratitude I feel, and, you know, I talk to my therapy clients about this, and I think the notion of, you know, having a gratitude practice has been bandied around so much that it's people dismissed. But I think the more gratitude I feel and go in search for every day, the happier I feel and the more fortunate I feel. And, you know, the littlest things make me happy now, you know. It's the little things. It's the, as you know, it's the time I spend with my indoor plants and the unfurling of a new leaf, and it's the way the sun shines through my window of a morning or the afternoon, and all those little things that I notice more now that I would have previously taken for granted. And it's just, I see so much more meaning in my day-to-day.
And isn't that great? Because when we're in our, you know, 20s, 30s, we're focused on the house and getting the car and the job and all that kind of thing. And then we get to this age and we go, okay, this is what's important to me. It's not all that stuff. It's the flowers in my garden or my morning coffee. It's all the simple stuff.
And then that just comes this sort of this lovely sense of permission to slow down, to do less, just to soften. There's something, you know, it's even reflective in the colours that I've been wearing. I swore I'd never be a pastel girl, but I tell you, it creeped.
Well, I love what you said about, you know, because I was always very masculine as well, especially in my marriage. I was, you know, probably the dominant one and the organizer and all that kind of thing. And so it's nice now to be able to, sit more in that feminine space. And even though I'm not a menstruating woman anymore, I probably feel more feminine. And I'm still delving into that now than I have ever. It's really, really interesting. And wearing more sort of, you know, feminine clothes and flowy dresses, and I've got some pink as well, and just embracing that a bit more. That's been really lovely too. And that's not something I ever would have expected.
No, that's right. So insofar as some of these lovely clothes that you're wearing, I think lots of women will be able to watch you and your wardrobe over the years. So Jane, people will find you. Your Instagram account is it the Middle Age Goddess or?
Yeah, at the Middle Age Goddess.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent. And you share a little bit there about what you're wearing day to day, don't you?
I do, yeah. It's interesting because most of my stuff I've owned for years, occasionally I'll get something new. So, you know, people go, where did you get it? I'm like, it's 5 years old.
Oh, Jane, you and me both.
Yeah.
I have a pair of new yellow cotton slacks on today and I am excited to put them on.
Oh,
say great. Current. They're current. The top 7 years old.
Yeah, I do have a thing for shoes. I'm trying to quell that. But yeah, a lot of my clothes are just stuff I keep. And you know, I put stuff in garbage bags. I'm like, I'll take it to the op shop. And then, you know, they sit in my spare room for 6 months and then generally end up back in my closet.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, for lots of pro-age messaging and a joyful smile and heaps of giggles, Jane is your lady. There's no question.
Thanks, Amy.
Jane, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a delight.
So good to chat. Thank you for sharing me with all your people.
This was episode 48 of Woman, Conversations for the Curious. You'll find links to Jane's Instagram account and today's show notes over at theholisticingredient.com/48. As always, if you're enjoying the series and you've got 2 minutes to leave a quick review, please do. I truly appreciate it. Until next time, stay curious.